You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
It's called blackmail. As you know, the royal family of Britain are the wealthiest landowners in the world. Either the royal family pays us an exorbitant amount of money, or we make it seem that Prince Charles has had an affair outside of marriage and therefore would have to divorce.
Prince Charles did have an affair. He admitted it, and they are now divorced.
Right, okay, people, you have to tell me these things, all right? I've been frozen for 30 years, okay? Throw me a frickin' bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info. Okay, no problem.
Terrible gibberish. Splintered memories looming up out of the time fog. Just press play.
Tonight, any protester, any instigator, or agitator will be made example of.
This system make of us slaves. Without dignity. Without debt.
We'll make you a millionaire while you're sitting here from 1 minute to the next.
What else would I do with myself?
So what makes you so high and mighty? Will you tell me that? Didn't you ever try looking at your own eyeballs in the mirror?
Why not me? Why not? A guy can get anything he wants as long as he pays the price.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
It's episode 173 of Cinema Crespediso. How's it going, guys? I'm your host, Chris Crespo, and I am here to guide you through the world of movies one week at a time. Helping me do that is the co-host, Drew Cogburn. Drew!
What up, dude?
How's it going, man?
It's going. Another week, another podcast, another guest.
Yes, another guest. Let's see. He has been on the show. I got this information right here. 1, 2, 3, 4 times. One of those times was as a guest co-host. At least once, right?
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the radio network, host of Tidbits, the one and only Steve Etchie.
Hey! Here.
How's it going, Etchie?
It's going good.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Before I left, I was talking to my mom. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go guest on a podcast. Uh-huh. And I'm like so excited. And she's like, oh, what? Cool, why? And I'm like, I'm going on Cinema Crespediso. And she's like, all right.
Like, yeah, she's like, what? Like, don't you know what that is, Mom?
I'm like, no, because I've guested it on a ton of different shows, but like, this is my favorite.
Oh, we appreciate that. Thank you. And you're one of our favorite guests because you got opinions and you ain't afraid to express them. And you got some art here, man. What's up with this?
A ton. It's going to be a 3/4 sleeve as soon as it's done. Look, I can't
wait. Nice. You got outlines of a clown guy, and you got an old-timey boxer waiting to shoot again.
Yep.
So it's a pinball motif thing?
Yeah, that's going on. That guy's name is Knuckles O'Brien.
It's an actual guy.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
If you ever play the pinball table, it's called Champions Pub, right?
Okay.
And you have to fight the different guys. You just hit them with the pinball and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
Knuckles O'Brien is the first one, but like it's extremely racist. You
like
fight
against the Irish or
against everybody, probably.
Well, Knuckles O'Brien, yeah, but then they have an Asian guy named Bing Bang Boom. That's racist. Yeah, and racist. My favorite though, the Australian, his name is Dan Under.
Nice. Dan Under.
That's where we're from. That's how we think of your people.
Yeah, but because, you know, it's a pinball table, so they can't actually change characters. It's him every time. Yeah, they just rename him.
So I know you play the pinball games on like on your computer, right?
Yes.
But are you playing recreations of actual pinball tables?
Yeah.
Is that what's going on? I got a thing on the Xbox One over here where it's like, but there's only one table that comes with it free, and then you got to pay for the rest. I ain't paying for shit.
You know what? I believe it's probably the same exact thing.
It might be.
There's a new one that comes out every month. I have 62 tables.
62 tables. I always had 62 tables. I've been playing the same table for months now. Got a high score of like 136 million. I can't.
The first one is Tales of Arabian Nights.
The Arabian Nights. Yeah.
That's what it is.
The same one. And I just keep playing that one table over and over and over and over as I am forking out the money for more tables. I do want to play the Terminator one,
which is part of my my piece. Terminator 2, amazing.
Is it?
Yes. It's one of my favorite tables.
I played the
trial
version of it for a couple seconds.
It's really great because it goes by movies, seriously.
Yeah.
Terminator 2, the pinball machine.
Yeah.
One of my favorites of all time. Terminator 3, terrible.
Yeah, there's a Terminator 3 one also.
It's awful.
That's hysterical.
And I'm like, wow, it's true to form.
Yeah, they were. We took inspiration from the actual art.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
We're gonna half-ass this one.
So now you got crazy pinball wizard arm.
Yes,
it's gonna look awesome. When
I was
done.
Thinking of actually doing Elton John and the whole on skates thing, the pinball wizard.
Really?
Jesus. But it'd be. I haven't seen it.
It's only body art.
Yeah.
Who fucking needs to see it?
But you know what I mean, though. I was like, I feel weird, but you know, getting a tattoo of a movie.
It's okay. You can be a total poser. It's fine.
As long as you're upfront about it.
Yeah, that's
true.
Then
no one can blame you for it. It's like, I've always been honest about it. Okay, I guess.
Yeah. I would love for somebody to be. Oh man, it's a great movie, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I'll take your word for it. It just looks cool. I'm like, oh, man. Well, looking forward to seeing that thing finish, I'm sure. Are you going black and white? There's going to be color there?
It's
going to
be color. Oh, it's going to be color. Oh, lots of color.
Of course, you got that pasty white arm. It's perfect
for
putting color on. Absolutely. I love it. Well, thanks for coming, Etchy.
Yes.
Looking forward to having a good time with you like we always do. And like we always do, we got to start with the Netflix pick of the week. So I'm going to go ahead and I got to pull this up and I got to do that.
I have a chick flick recommendation, too.
Do you really?
Uh-huh.
Well, hold on. We'll get that in a second from you.
For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week.
What's your chick flick recommendation?
Man Up. And this is one of those ones.
Oh, the Simon Pegg.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Lake Bell. Who?
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Like I like Lake Bell.
Yeah.
And it's on the Netflix.
I believe so.
If you also
look for Lake Bell, God, I love her.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote this too. In a World, that is about voiceovers,
and that's definitely on Netflix for sure.
Yes, it is. So good. But anyway, yeah, Man Up, Simon Pegg, Lake Bell. I think it's one that like if you're a dude and you're not into that or whatever, mm-hmm. but. It's one of those ones where, you know, if your woman picked it out, you'd be like, all right, because it's Simon Pegg humor.
Right.
I mean, it's Simon Pegg being Simon Pegg.
Yeah. Doing his thing.
Yeah.
Which is very fun to watch, very entertaining.
I find they're doing that more and more, and it's a good thing because it appeals to way more people.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. So you recommend Man Up to people, which is on Netflix.
Oh, I watched it twice in a week.
There you go. That's the edgy Netflix pick of the week. We appreciate that. Drew, are we good on the Crespediso? You got the thumbs up? Edgy, let everyone know what is this week's official Netflix pick of the week.
It is V for Vendetta.
Oh, shit. That was pondered pretty recently, I think.
Another one of those unlikely very good comic book movies.
Yeah, it turned out pretty good.
Back in the day.
Pretty surprising. I was like, whoa, this worked.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Well, especially since like the whole mask thing, like, ugh.
Yeah, how do you convince an actor to even do a movie? It's hard. A lot of actors turn down movies when you tell them, well, you know what? Your face is going to be covered the whole time.
The entire time.
Yeah, exactly.
But he worked with it.
But show emotion.
Yeah, but make it work.
Wait, well, who was it?
You have to do it with voice. It was Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving, Agent Smith from the Matrix movies.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Speaking of Australians, speaking of Dan Down Under. Down Under? What was
Dan
his name?
Under.
Dan Under.
Dan Under.
Dan Under.
Agent Smith Under himself was, it was him. He was V. And yeah, he's really good at that.
I never even thought to ask.
He was under the mask.
It was really good voice work on his part.
Yeah.
Because it had to be.
And body work, too. Because he was in the... It was him the whole time.
I know, but that's the only way...
It wasn't like
wearing a mask,
James Earl Jones.
That's
Vader
the only
situation.
Way that he can convey emotion.
Right.
Yeah. Because he's not showing it on the face.
God, yeah, that is difficult.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. And there's even a line from the movies in the intro. It's John Hurt as like the big brother type, the chancellor or whatever.
Yes.
And I liked seeing this part in the theater. There's scenes where John Hurt as, you know, the big brother, he's speaking to his panel and they're looking at him on a movie screen and it's a close-up of his face.
Yeah.
And then they do shots that are...
It's just John Hurt on the movie screen.
Yeah, it's John Hurt on screen. He's yelling at you, the audience, and he's like barking orders at you. It's like, whoa, this is intense. This is a crazy way to have a business meeting. You know, this is... Skype was not imagining this
when they invented their face-to-face meeting technology.
I did not know what to expect from that movie. So much so that actually, now that I think about it, my wife owned it.
Oh, yeah?
And so, you know, when we moved in together, we, you know, put the DVD collection together, and I just kind of saw it and went, I remember that coming out, and it looked kind of interesting. So, like, that's the only reason I saw it.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you liked it, right? Because it was good.
Oh, I loved it.
Directed by James McTeague, who he started out as, he worked with the Wachowskis as one of their assistant directors, maybe their first AD. Mm-hmm. So he worked on like the Matrix movies and stuff like that. So the Wachowskis produced Viva Vendetta, and they had their boy McTeague directed. They did a pretty good job. Probably his best movie, actually. Because he's done a couple, and they haven't been so hot since then. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Viva Vendetta is the best one of them all. So there you go. That's the pick of the week. Watch that. Watch Man Definitely. Up. Watch them both with your significant others. And
it's a great contrast.
That's an interesting double feature right there. That's a hell of a double feature. Thank you. Etchy, we appreciate it, dude. Let's get into that box office recap, Drew. Where are we starting the top five this week?
Top five starts at number 12.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
Green Room made $960,000 this week for a total of $1.3
million. It almost made $1 million this week?
Almost.
And for a total of just barely $1 million?
Yeah. Well, it's playing at the Enzian right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's only in 470 theaters.
470 theaters, so it's still technically a limited release. Here in Orlando,
quite limited,
it's playing at the Enzian, but it's also playing, I think, at the Regal at Waterford by UCF.
I find it weird when bigger theaters do that. Yeah. You're like, you're carrying that? Really? Okay.
Yeah. But then it's also it's also weird to see where they decide to carry it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised. I guess because that the Enzian is why it's not at Winter Park Regal often gets
because normally Winter Park would carry that stuff.
Yeah, they'll get the indie stuff. But Enzian took it, right? But they still got it over by UCF, and I think they have it at Universal Studios at that AMC.
But that thing's huge.
Yeah, that place is huge. Yeah. Over 20 screens, I think. And they have it at the downtown Disney. The Disney Springs is now what they're called, the AMC. So it's spread around town and only a handful of theaters. But it's out there.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what it was about. I just happened to read it. Enzian sends me emails.
Yeah, the emails. Yeah, I got it too.
Yeah, I didn't read what it was about, though.
Well, we'll tell you what it's about.
It's a bunch of punk kids that go to a punk show.
Well, it's a punk rock band.
Punk rock band at a punk rock show. The punk rock show happens to be at a skinhead compound.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's punk rock. Yeah. So, that those, you know, you get intertwined with skinheads every once in a while.
Yes. All sorts of skinheads.
Exactly.
Yeah. They just happen to be non-affiliated Nazi skinheads.
Nazi skinheads, yeah. And
sharps.
No, not sharps. Sharps are skinheads against racism.
Right.
It's so confusing.
Exactly. Yeah, There's so many affiliations.
So many hairless people.
At one point, one guy describes him, he's like, they're right wing skinheads, but technically they're far left.
Far left.
I'm like, what? Because I guess they're socialists too. Yeah. It is a clusterfuck.
They like everything.
Yeah, it's stupid.
So they go there, and one of them witnesses something awful.
Well, you can say it's okay, the aftermath of a murder.
Yeah, one of them witnesses the aftermath of a murder. They all get locked in the green room, and then they call Patrick Stewart, who is the head Nazi in charge, and things get pretty insane.
It becomes a siege movie, like Assault on Precinct 13.
Except it's Assault on the Green Room.
Yeah, Assault on the Green Room in a punk rock club in the middle of nowhere in the Pacific Northwest, like outside of Portland.
I always find it weird when there's independent films, you know, that like, you know, you hear the premise and then they're like with Patrick Stewart.
Yeah,
like,
what? No, exactly. But you see, that's what drew me. That was one of the selling points to me. I love watching.
Because you know they don't have to do it.
And that's one of the, that's one of the things that helped the movie get made.
Exactly. And it's one of those things, and it's also one of those things where, you know, when you think Patrick Stewart, you're thinking Jean-Luc Picard. You're thinking Professor X.
You think American Dad.
Whatever, that's fine. You think American Dad.
Yeah.
Either way,
you think of him in Pleasant Roles.
You think something.
Well, no, but either way, it's usually a positive and a good guy role.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
This is Patrick Stewart flipping the script and being a fucking evil motherfucker.
I have to see that now.
But he's not manic crazy evil. He's cold, calculated.
He is very matter-of-fact, very logical, just...
Well, makes sense. I can't see him...
He just doesn't care about human life. Yeah. That's all.
I can't see him as, like, a crazed...
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he does the composure thing so well.
Yes. Yes.
And he does it well here.
At one point, he does get mad at someone, and he bonks his head against the wall, and then he takes a breath, and he's like, I apologize. Yep. So that's not in my nature. I try not to be a violent
trying to be that guy.
But meanwhile, he's ordering his soldiers. All
to
his,
murder the fuck out of
yeah,
people.
Yeah, so they're trying to get the band out of the green room, and the band in the green room, they're just trying to stay alive, man.
Right, because they're the ones that witness it, so they're going specifically for them.
Yeah, 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 okay. Exactly. And it is a crazy movie, dude.
It is horrifically violent. And some of the violence is fucking surprising.
Yes.
And really? Surprisingly brutal.
Yeah.
See, I like that. Like, when you're, it's not just extreme, it's the fact that, like, you're like, whoa!
Yeah. Well,
like,
no! You know,
and well, there's one moment where everyone in the theater did exactly that. Everyone well,
and,
went, whoa!
And I think the reason why is because it's not this regular slapstick horror violence where, you know, someone gets cut and is gashing super red blood spraying everywhere and you laugh and chuckle. No. This blood is very dark and very crimson and bad things happen. People bleed.
Yeah, it's not Tarantino violence.
No.
I was going to say, I'm thinking like Irreversible, the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, except you can actually see what's going on as opposed to that scene.
Well, yeah.
Like following the fire.
But I mean, you know, like how all of a sudden, like it was,
Or do you remember in the movie Drive when that hot girl got her head fucking blown off out of nowhere?
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
When she got shot down.
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
Or like that one scene. In Drive, there's really just that one scene of super horrible violence.
It's that.
And then for the rest of the movie, you're like, oh shit, anything can happen. Yeah. And then it never gets as violent as that again. No. Green Room does the same thing. Halfway through the movie, they show you a couple things that are fucking horrible, like really terrible.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the movie, you're just on edge, like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? And
you're waiting for it to escalate.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Just, and then they show you some, like, there's some bad violence.
Some mild,
scenes. In comparison to what you just saw, it's not that bad. No. But it did its job, because now you're like, now I know how far this movie's willing to go.
Yes.
Yeah. My favorite surprise violence, I think, mostly because it was funny, and at the time when I laughed, I was like, "Why is this funny?"
Yeah, because sometimes I'm doing a reaction.
Yeah, I just shot Marvin in the face.
Exactly. Yeah. That's played for a laugh. Yeah,
exactly.
The back windshield is covered
in brain.
But I mean, he did such a good job. Like Travolta literally cutting himself off.
Yeah.
And the gunshot, and for a split second, you go, "Did that come from outside the car? Somebody shooting at him?"
Yeah. Something, what happened?
What happened?
Yeah. That was hysterical.
I just shot Marvin in the face.
Yeah. That's Tarantino knowing what's up.
Yeah.
The Green Room is all about, it's all about that tension, man. It's all about it building and building. Just like, oh my god, I can't. my errors were shot when it was over, but like in a good
way. Yeah. I think also when I saw the title Green Room, when I got the email from Enzian, like, I've been in a lot of green rooms.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, those are the most boring places on earth.
That's why you got to find something to do in there. Like hide out from people that want to kill you.
Yeah.
I would recommend people should look for this in theaters.
100%.
And see it right away.
I got to see it.
It's good.
Take your grandmas and take your kids.
Yeah, because Enzian, they usually have a film for like a week and then it's gone.
Yeah, they might only have it there for maybe a couple weeks tops.
But yeah.
Yeah, totally. So.
I just got the email, so they're... Chippy time.
So left. if you want to see that locally, you got to jump on that around the country. It's only 400 screens, man. Hopefully they spread out a little bit more. Now with the summer hitting, it's harder to get screens now for the next few months. For
because all fucking blockbusters are coming out.
Yeah, like next week, half the screens are going to go to one movie. So.
Yeah.
So if it's near you this week, see it before Thursday. Get out there. It'll fuck you up. It's good.
Yeah. Well. I was just reading an industry magazine the other day because... I have on video editing kind of thing. And 3D is dying. Like they him saying it just keeps going down and
people
down.
Are seeing it less and less. Jungle Book may have given a shot in the arm though, because it was really good. And then James Cameron's got 4 Avatar movies come out. If anyone makes a movie in 3D worth seeing, it's gonna be James Cameron.
It's just layered though.
He had to invent underwater motion capture technology or some shit to be able to film stuff in this movie.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Did he go down to the Marianas Trench again?
Probably. He's like, I forgot something.
Motherfucker.
The worst part, too, is no matter how much I hate him, I'm going to see it.
Of course. No matter how boring I thought that first Avatar was.
No, exactly. I am totally not interested in anything that goes on in that Avatar universe ever again. But I'm probably going to see least the first 2 of them.
The first 2 of 4.
I mean, did they make a Ferngully too? I don't...
No, yeah. What's he going to pull this from? How many times could he remake Dances with Wolves?
Exactly. I don't know, but Tim Curry wasn't in it, so...
Yeah, Dances with Ferngullies. So Green Room, dope movie, right, Drew?
Dope.
We all agree?
Super dope.
All right, go see it. What's next?
Number 5. Barbershop Colin the Next Guy.
Good for them. How much is that?
We can gross $6 million, total of $44
million?
I think it's okay. I don't think it's as much as the original Barbershop movies. But then again,
it's not a big budget.
Yeah, it isn't a big budget, and it's not like
you're going to make your money back. Yeah, easy.
They know what they're doing.
I'm sure they already have.
I'm sure they do. What was that? Number five. Number four.
Number four. Mother's Day.
Number four. Mother's Day.
Oh. Weekend gross 8.3 million. Same as total.
The reviews for Mother's Day,
so awful.
They're so funny to read because they're so bad.
Really?
It's like people are like. Like, we thought New Year's Day, and what was the other one? Valentine's Day. We thought those movies were bad, but this is like, whoa, whole new level, terrible. It's like if Aliens tried to make a movie about Mother's Day.
Sweet.
And then, but he didn't tell me anything about Mother's Day or movies.
That's
or
funny. It's literally just holiday movies. One of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life, Home for the Holidays.
Home for the Holidays, yeah. That one's not very good.
Which is a shame, because what was it? Claire Danes.
Oh yeah, Claire is good, but she doesn't pick.
It's the only reason I saw it.
Gary Marshall's brother Jerry. Gary Marshall is making all these holiday themed movies.
So which one's next?
Arbor Day,
Thanksgiving. They already made an Arbor Day movie.
They did
with Josh Brolin.
That's Labor Day.
Damn it,
it's Labor Day.
So you can't do Labor Day.
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day.
And it's a movie just about
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Just to fuck with people, he needs to do Groundhog Day.
That would be funny. But it has like nothing to do with that plot whatsoever.
No, exactly.
About 20 different people running around the city. Catherine Heigl's a professional chef or some sort.
And there's
John Bon Jovi is in there somewhere.
There's got to be a hedgehog.
Jennifer Aniston shows up and mugs for the camera.
Bill Murray is briefly in it.
A picture of Bill Murray.
No.
A blurred out picture of Bill Murray.
I hope so.
Because they put it in and then he sued him and made him blurred. Mother's Day, yeah. Read the reviews. Don't see the movie, just read the reviews. One review I read called the movie like a cinematic adaptation of Walmart.
Sweet.
But that was pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can we get the cinematic adaptation of the people of Walmart?
that sounds much better.
That's Hills Have Eyes.
Yes. Yeah, close enough. Yeah. Coming to number three this week.
Number three.
Keanu.
Number three.
Made a weekend gross of $9.3 million.
That's it.
Yeah. I've been meaning to see it.
People.
Budget of 15.
Well, it just came out at you, so.
Yeah.
15. The $9 million. That's it.
Yeah.
People. What do you?
They'll get it back.
It's a cute movie.
I mean, it is a comedic action adventure movie with the cutest fucking kitten you've ever seen in your goddamn life.
I think a lot of people don't really know what it is.
It's a Key and Peele movie. That's it.
Well, but I mean, also the whole John Wick, like jokey. You know what I'm saying? When you look, I know because I've seen my parents see the preview,
and
they are just like,
they don't get it.
Sure. Whereas my dad might actually find it funny.
They're probably. It's like the marketing is trying to appeal to the Vine generation that kids weaned on cat videos, cats of Instagram.
But at the same time,
cats of Instagram.
Yeah, they're still doing it right though, because if they tried to make a trailer showing that they were the correlation with John Wick, and it'd be too much. It'd be too explanatory.
Yeah.
Then people would be like, "This is stupid."
Yeah, like this
myself
is,
included.
Like I gotta know all this stuff. But it's a solid movie.
But you know, the thing is though, it gives it another layer of funny if you understand what it's about and where it comes from. You know, the John Wick and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
But even if you don't know that stuff, it's still a funny movie.
Yeah. You don't need that.
You don't need to know that.
I didn't figure so.
But I saw it like if you liked the Key and Peele show,
then you'll like the movie.
You'll like the movie because it is.
It's them.
It's one of their skits turned into a 90-minute movie, but successfully.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like it's stretched out.
It's a couple of skits put together.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, and with the two of them, like you always get the same thing, and it's always good. I'm trying to think. They were in a movie recently that I can't think of now. Where they were both cops.
Well, they were on Fargo. They were both.
That's it.
Yeah.
They were on Fargo. Yes.
They popped up in Fargo. Yeah.
They were great. Yeah, as idiot FBI agents.
I thought they were great, but also when they popped up, all of a sudden they popped up in episode 8 and they're sitting in the car like bickering with each other. I was like, when did Fargo just turn into a Key and Peele skit? And then Billy Bob Thornton shows up. He starts shooting people. And I'm like, why is Billy Bob Thornton killing people in his Key and Peele skit? This is crazy. How did they get him? How did they get the show? I was a weird. I liked them and I thought that was funny, but it was a little strange.
Yeah.
See them both pop up. And watching this movie, there's one part where they're just driving and they're just talking shit, and they're not even anything to have to do with the actual plot or anything. And I totally feel like this is just like
2 minutes of a skit that they couldn't squeeze into a TV show.
Yeah.
So they just threw it into the movie as filler.
Which I love, actually.
I thought it worked.
It's kind of like some of everybody's favorite moments of Tarantino films were...
The little moments.
Madonna.
Yeah.
You know, like... Yeah. Where they're
the little side conversations.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, sure.
And I always wondered how many of those were made up or...
Or written.
I
guess it depends on the writers, you know. Like, some of them are exacting, like, you must read exactly what's on here.
Yeah, well, a lot of them, too, sound like those side conversations in the different movies sound like they were written by the same person.
Yes. I mean, Tarantino movies.
I think it's Tarantino. Oh,
yeah, almost every actor sounds like they're just saying Tarantino dialogue. It's like Samuel Jackson and Christoph Waltz are the only ones that, like, make it their own.
Yeah.
Everyone else just sounds like they're just reading a script.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not a terrible thing.
But not a bad way. Yeah, yeah.
They're good scripts.
I like to pull it
They're out. Good scripts. The Key and Peele's fun. Like Drew said, it's kind of like two things, two skits, because there's the whole cat thing, the gangster kitty.
And then there's the whole, we're black guys, but man, are we super white.
Yeah, the whole, like code switching and stereotypes, yeah. Black stereotypes.
Yeah.
The movie started as a screenplay called Real Hard Motherfuckers.
Which,
and it's pretty much a movie without the cat.
Yeah.
And then they did a few drafts, and then at one point, Jordan Peele was like, hear me out, guys. What if we had an adorable kitten to the proceedings?
Yes.
And then they did, and it was
like... And the genius of calling it Keanu. Like,
well, yeah, of
that
course.
That is awesome.
And they even make fun of it, too. I mean, one of the lines is like, I named him Keanu. I think it means cool breeze in Hawaii.
Yeah. And I'll talk about it a little bit in the second half. But there's a moment where the cat starts talking, and, and it's Keanu Reeves.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's pretty funny.
I always imagined, too, that Key and Peele could actually do a good, like, serious role. Like, I think they can do that.
Yeah, and they're working on branching out. Jordan Peele
wants to
direct
stuff?
Yeah, he wants to direct movies, and the first movie he wants to direct is a horror film. And nice. And then Keegan-Michael Key's been popping up more in other things, just as an actor.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, they're branching out. We'll see. I'm excited to see where they end up going. They inked a lot of deals recently in Hollywood, and now all that stuff's starting to come to fruition.
Yeah. Hopefully not too much, because you know how like that happens where everybody loves some
too fast. Too
yeah. Quick. Yep. And all of a sudden, there's everywhere, and you just go, I'm done. Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Anymore. It's like, oh man, Kenny Powers is great, but I got some. Yeah.
Totally true.
And Dan McBride's got to take a step back and let people like forget him for a second, so that he can come back and be like, big old titties. Instead of Tropic Thunder. I would say go see Keanu in theaters because it's a fun movie.
I
enjoyed it. If you like Key and Peele stuff, see it.
I mean, I was laughing pretty much the entire movie.
Yeah, there was a decent amount of people in the theater when we saw it, and there was like people were laughing the whole time. I think it's funny. Yeah. It's funny throughout.
Yeah,
which is hard to do for comedies. And also, it's got the guy who played Eazy-E.
Yeah,
Jason Mitchell.
Yep,
he's like one of the gang. He's one of the 17th Street Blips.
Yep,
and he's actually very funny. He's
good. Yeah.
I can admit. So there you go. Keanu. See it.
Yes.
Because we say so.
I need to.
All right.
I still haven't seen John Wick. I need to really.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to see it really, but well, the thing is, I hate renting stuff because then when it's really good, it's like, gosh, should have bought it.
Should have bought it. Well, yeah, John Wick, go ahead and buy it.
Yeah.
Buy John Wick.
Go ahead and
see, that's what I thought. And I'm going to do that right now.
There you go. Buy it and then go see Keanu.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, these movies are great.
Coming number two this week.
Number two.
The Huntsman: Winter's War.
More people saw that than they saw Keanu.
We can gross up at 9.39 million.
Barely, but still.
Yep. For a total of 33.9.
That makes me mad, America. You failed.
It's all right.
Test America.
We're not going to get any more of these movies. This thing is a giant flop.
Oh, yeah. Of Huntsman movies?
Yes.
No more Huntsman movies.
Thank God.
They're like...
I've never seen any of them.
They're like, Thor, we have no room for you in Civil War. I'll find a new war. The Winter's War. I know, flop.
Yep.
But it was terrible.
Winter's coming.
Uh-huh. Winter's still coming.
It's still coming, man. It'll be here eventually, all right? It's only been, like, 7 years?
It's on the horizon, but it's still coming. Shit's on tonight.
Yeah.
All right, hurry up and do this.
Oh, goddamn. Coming in number one, winning all the monies, Chris, The Jungle Book.
What, Jungle
Book? We can gross a $42 million, total of $252 and change.
God damn. How long has it been out now? 3 weeks, four
Three
weeks?
3 weeks.
250 in just 3 weeks?
Yep.
I went and saw that with my wife. It was...
It's good.
You know what? Specifically... Well, first of all, the movie was good in general. But as far as like visual effects, the hair...
Yeah.
For the first time was not like Final Fantasy wispy hair.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an animal's
hair. All of the animals looked fucking real.
Yeah, they did. And the other thing being, you know, everybody's always been trying to mess for years with talking animals' mouths.
Yes.
We're done.
Yeah,
they nailed it.
They can now work on everything else because they figured that part out perfect. Yeah, I didn't even... It's done so well, I didn't even notice. I wasn't even looking at their mouths anymore because I was just like, their faces look right.
I was looking... I was looking at... everything. Well, you know what I mean? Like, oh my god.
Well, yeah. There's like when there's moments where like Shere Khan sits down on that rock in the lion in the wolf's den and sits down and just starts like pawing at the rock and like breathing, and you could see like the dampness in its fur and the way that it's going up and down. I was like, god damn, it looks so real.
is that a real fucking lion?
It looks so real.
Do you remember? Because I always freak out at these things. Because this was a pretty long time ago. Mm. The one that came after Being John Malkovich.
Adaptation.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're, you know, the twin thing. You know, you see both of them.
Yes.
And you know, yeah, I know how that works. I can do that. Mm-hmm. Whatever, you know. And then I was watching it with my wife. You know. Well, then Nicolas Cage picks up a phone book and throws it to the other Nicolas Cage, and he catches it, and I go, "Holy shit!" You know, and she's like, "What?"
They actually interacted with each other.
It's a phone book. Yeah. I'm like, "No, you." Forget it.
They finally figured out better digital compositing at that. Yeah.
Yeah, because whenever I see that kind of stuff, I'm like, sure, I could do that at home. And then he just did that, and I'm like, I can't. Like, I'm going through my head, just thinking of all the tools. You know what I mean? Yeah, and yeah. I can't figure it out, and it's blowing my mind.
And now that was like what?
That was a long
12 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, so, yeah, about that.
Now they've gotten so much further in that, and having multiple actors play. I mean, shit, they did the Winklevoss twins, the Winklevi.
Yeah.
They had two guys play them, but then they just pasted one guy's face on the other guy's face. Yeah. It's like, no problem, we'll just put your face on his face.
And it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
Did you ever see Multiplicity?
Of course.
Okay. You know how, when you see more than one of them and stuff, when the camera would pan, did you notice how perfectly it panned?
Because they're using the the Robert Zemeckis pan and glide thing that he invented for Back to the Future 2.
Yep.
Yeah, it memorizes the camera movement and then repeats it exactly, so you have the actors that composite the images together.
And it sucks!
Because it's so obvious.
Yeah.
Well, when it first happened in Back to the Future 2, Multiplicity, the camera's moving a lot because you have a bunch of Michael Keatons.
Right.
In Back to the Future 2, it's just like a steady, not steady, but they're in a kitchen. Mm-hmm. The camera's not moving too much. There's only like four characters in the scene.
Yeah.
And so it's less noticeable. But when you're trying to orchestrate this whole thing, it's like, it's very noticeable. They have a mechanical camera that's gliding sideways.
It kind of reminds me of Pan and Scan.
Yeah. But, kids don't know what Pan and Scan is.
No.
Back in the day, there was TVs were, never mind.
Yeah.
Just look it up.
It's an aspect ratio.
Yeah, just Wikipedia, Pan and Scan, but not panning for gold. That's different. So you like it. You would recommend people see it.
Multiplicity?
Multiplicity as well as the Jungle Book.
Both, yes.
See them both.
Multiplicity is one of those ones. I have like the whole movie memorized, like all the really? And stuff. Yeah. Jungle Book, yes. Especially
I'm more of a Mr. Mom gay.
They stayed very true to it.
To the Disney version. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Only difference being that Ka was not, it was Scarlett Johansson, and I was like,
they reduced which was fine for me because the less snake, the better. There's a snake in Keanu. It was like,
gross. Well, and also, Ka's voice was very high.
Yes.
The original.
Oh,
he was also
And he was also more of like a goofball. He was like the comic relief of the movie.
Yeah. He was also the snake in Robin Hood, same voice actor.
Oh, I did not know that.
Interesting.
The Disney film, yeah.
But yeah, in this movie, it's Scarlett Johansson, and she's all like, I'm a sexy kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're totally gonna let me.
She's playing like the under the skin version of the snake.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, she's like an alien under there.
I do love though that, they follow it closely enough that you can, while watching it go, I wonder how they're gonna handle this. No,
sure.
And one of which was, because it's so cartoony and they did an excellent job with how they did it, but when he would mesmerize you, whatever, he had like
kaleidoscope eyes,
acid eyes,
the hypnotism part.
Yeah, and I was like, they're not gonna do that.
Well, you know kind of.
They go, but you know what I mean? Like, it was pink and blue
and shit.
It wasn't so cartoony.
It was kind of
otherworldly almost.
Yeah, but it was very different. But at the same time, gave you the same feeling. Sure.
It got across what they were trying to do.
Yeah, they did nothing wrong in this movie.
Or there you go. So Jungle Book 2, look out for that in a few years because it's definitely happening. Especially when it's making $250 million in just 3 weeks. That's crazy.
I kind of wouldn't like to see that though, because, like, you know, you redid a classic, and it's like now
you're gonna keep going.
There's no number two.
There's plenty of short stories, Rudyard Kipling stuff that they can draw from.
The Hobbit did with
exactly. But yeah. There's no like other Disney movies to draw from, but they have source material for days that they can with featuring Mowgli and Shere Khan and Bagheera, all the same characters, but doing different things.
I love that name, Bagheera.
They got good names. Yeah. They got good names. So that was number one.
Yes, sir.
God damn. Jungle Book. New movies coming out on DVD. We have The Fifth Wave, starring Chloe Grace Moretz.
What happened to Waves 1 through 4?
They're all in the trailer.
Okay.
They're all in the trailer.
Gotcha.
The Choice. The Choice. Nicholas Sparks, The Choice. What happened
to... I've made a choice, Chris.
First... Oh, yeah.
Not to watch that movie.
That's a good choice. The first choice is this woman has to choose between her boyfriend / husband, I'm not sure what it is, or the hunky next door neighbor.
Of course, she chooses the hunky next door neighbor.
She's the hunky next door neighbor.
Wait, is this some kind of genie shit? Like, what do you mean?
No, I mean just like she has to make the choice. Like, you know,
am I going to stay with my husband, or am I going to bang this rando who just showed up,
who just moved in next door?
Okay,
so that she chooses to bang the rando, of course. Because movies.
Uh-huh.
And then she gets in a car accident because it's a Nicholas Sparks movie,
and then he has to make a choice.
He has to make a choice. Does he pull the plug, or does he sit by her bedside, by her Terry Schiavo body for the rest of her short life? So he makes a choice to not pull the plug. And
really?
And then she wakes up anyway. The end. I read the Wikipedia just to save everyone the...
I can see how that's kind of interesting.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Sparks. He's done it over and over. The Vow starts with that, with Rachel McAdams going through a windshield in slow motion, which is actually pretty awesome. And then Channing Tatum's like, no. And then you're just like, shut up. You're not getting your Gambit movie.
Thank God. I love Gambit. Well, so do I, but he would be the worst Gambit of all time.
And that movie keeps getting stalled, so we'll see what happens. Also coming on DVD, I forgot that it's on me. Joy comes out, the Jennifer Lawrence movie, David O. Russell's Joy. It's actually pretty good. Not as good as the last couple, Silver Linings Playbook and American Hustle. I
love Silver Linings.
But still pretty good. I still enjoyed it.
If you...
Oh, see what I did there?
If you ever see...
Drew just pointed at me and made a silly face.
And most people will never see it because it's... Silver Linings Playbook.
Yep.
His name?
Bradley Cooper.
Thank you.
Okay.
He... And this is what makes him one of my favorite actors.
Yeah.
He actually acted out a rapid cycle.
I don't know what that is.
Most people don't.
Is that a CrossFit thing?
And it's kind of amazing. It's and I don't remember any of the, because I only saw the movie once, so I don't remember any of the. But I mean, where he's yelling at, like, you know, he's getting like, no, and no, you know, and then goes, hey, do you want to do, like, you know, like your emotions just change drastically and genuinely so fast.
Okay.
And most people, even if you know somebody with bipolar,
yeah,
you're probably not going to be around when that happens. Sure. Usually it's just your family that sees it.
That sees the sharp changes.
Yeah. And
like boom, changing like that.
Yeah. And I'm bipolar, extremely. So like when I saw that scene, it was the first time I'd ever seen somebody else do exactly what I was doing.
You saw something you could identify with, and it was Bradley Cooper.
And could never picture somebody else doing it.
And you saw this in a movie?
Yeah.
Silver Line. Or you're talking about Silver Line.
Silver Line specifically. Playbook,
yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah. Because he is like, he's yelling at people, and then all of a sudden he's like, I'm sorry.
I just kept rewinding it. I watched it
tons
of times. I don't know. They were on the sidewalk or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of, he's always running. He's always like trying to lose weight.
Yeah. Yeah,
because he used to be fat or something.
Yeah.
And then you look at the movie, you're like, Bradley Cooper was never fat. Get out of here. We can tell. He's always been a handsome, thin man. A son of a bitch.
It's just a young lad making out with Anthony Michael Hall. No, wait, who was it?
Michael Ian Black.
Damn it.
Anthony Michael Hall, Ian Black.
I love him.
Bradley Cooper's good.
Well, I mean, Michael Ian Black.
Michael Ian Black is good, too.
His stand-up's okay.
I like when he does the when he's working with the Stella guys, the Michael Showalter, David Wayne.
Yes,
when he's working with those guys.
Wet Hot American Summer, one of my favorite movies of all time.
All that stuff is good stuff.
Yeah,
SLP is a good movie, man. But and Joy's pretty good too. It's not as good, still pretty good. Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper's in it. It's got a small role. Solid coop.
enjoy. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
Oh, that movie we saw at the Ford Film Festival, Being Charlie, comes out.
Being Charlie, yeah. Starring the kid from Jurassic World. Mm-hmm. It's a new Rob Reiner. It's a movie about addiction, and it's good.
It's
a good, solid addiction slash almost a coming of age, like transitioning from teenage years to high school, to adulthood type of movie.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely enjoyed it.
There's this new documentary called Elstree 1976.
Okay, don't know what that is.
Actors and extras reminisce about their time on the set of Star Wars and how making the film affected their lives.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
It does.
People will enjoy that.
I'd have to watch Star Wars first.
Would you? Yeah, you probably wouldn't. You probably wouldn't want to watch Star Wars.
But I mean, like, I saw Star Wars as a kid, but I mean, now, where do you even find it?
It should be on Netflix soon, because Netflix has that deal with Disney, where everything that Disney's going to stream is going to be done.
I figured that would be some kind of...
It started doing that a couple years ago, but it's supposed to come to fruition in 2016.
Okay, because I was going to say, that just seems like some, like an exclusivity, you know what I mean? Like, no, they're going to have all our stuff, but not this.
Except the Star Wars stuff, hey, you never know, it's Disney. They do that kind of false demand type shit. That's what they do. So there's a Star Wars documentary. I guess so if the nerds have nothing to watch this weekend, they can go watch a Star Wars documentary. Because the nerds don't have anything to watch this weekend.
Yeah, because I mean,
the nerds and geeks, they don't have anything. The nerds and geeks don't have anything.
But there's another movie.
It's the first weekend of the summer. They have nothing to get. The geeks and the nerds get nothing the first weekend of the summer.
Chris, I'm one of the biggest geeks and nerds out there, and I am more interested in a bigger splash than I am in what we're going to talk about next.
Oh, actually, a bigger splash looks pretty good.
Tilda Swinton and Ralph Fiennes, he looks like he's just going apeshit.
Yeah, he looks crazy. It's a drama, romantic drama, about a rock star played by Tilda Swinton. She's on a vacation with like her younger boyfriend.
So one thing I just want to say.
One thing Drew wants to say.
Saw that the intro, you know, the trailer for this movie.
Yes.
And it shows Tilda Swinton on stage.
Yes. Doing like a David Bowie thing.
She should play David Bowie.
She should play David Bowie.
She would be a really good Bowie.
Because she's definitely doing it. She's got like a silver stripe along her eyes and orange hair. Yeah. And she's wearing a crazy silver outfit.
She should play David Bowie.
I think the coolest thing
somebody needs to write that script now.
I've been offered that.
Do you ever see him on SNL?
David Bowie?
In the 70s? Yeah, where they like... He was like in a suit. But I mean, like, it was like a block kind of suit-like thing.
Yeah.
And
crazy fashion. Crazy Bowie fashion.
Yeah, and two people on either side picked him up. And walked and you know, carried him over to the microphone.
Yeah.
And he just sang. And it was just like, that is a cool motherfucker.
That's awesome. Yeah, he was the coolest.
How many people can get away with that?
Yeah. Bowie is the man.
Yeah.
Bowie could have people carry him to a microphone and be like,
yeah.
Doing that weird second thing he does.
Yeah. What's that chick that has like the bangs in her eyes and it's like white hair?
Sia? Something like that?
S-I-A? I saw her on Saturday Night Live, and that's a perfect example of like, she had like an interpretive dancer like moving around and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're just watching this and I'm like, I hope your career dies tomorrow. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
she's quite popular. People love her. She had a huge set at Coachella where she had the same thing. People on stage dancing all weird.
I wasn't really... I you know what? I got to listen. Because honestly, seeing it, I wasn't listening. Because I was too busy going, what the fuck?
Well, she's also written a lot of stuff that other people have...
That I respect the hell out of.
She's that type of songwriter.
Okay, so she's pretty much like a proper musician. Yeah. Like, she can...
And then lately, she's finally like performing her own stuff.
Yeah. I've got respect for that. Yeah. I just... Yeah,
because it's like the same 12 people that write all the music that you hear on the radio.
That's ridiculous.
That's how that works. Bigger Splash looks like a good trailer. I definitely say trailer. Ralph Fiennes shows up. He's like an old lover, and he's trying to break up the this romance going on. Dakota Johnson's his hot daughter.
Yep.
And it looks tense and crazy.
Looks like it's going to be fun.
Looks like maybe someone
somebody
dies.
Somebody dies. I don't know who.
We don't know.
Somebody dies.
Maybe not Tilda Swinton, but someone dies.
Yep.
Nerds. That's your movie, right? That's the movie
for the nerds. No, the nerds movie is Captain America: Civil War.
Captain America Civil War. Been building up to this one for a while.
There's something I want to bring up.
Drew wants to bring something up.
I'm reading the buzz here on the IMDb. It says the Russo brothers made a tight, impressive political thriller with Captain America: Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And have described Civil War
as
a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
With Brian De Palma and the Classic Seven as inspiration. So here's my question. Is Captain America going to send Tony Stark Gwyneth Paltrow's head?
Yeah, whose head in a box? Pepper Potts head in a box?
She's in the movie. Might as well just send her head.
I want to see Pepper Potts head in a box.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
And Iron Man going like, what?
Like, no! You don't deserve the shield hammer. It's going to be a pretty big deal. This movie, it's tracking somewhere between $175 and $200 million opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make a lot of money.
It is.
It's going to be a pain in the ass trying to go see it.
Yeah, it is.
I have to go see a matinee or something.
Yeah.
Matinees are right.
They're going to get better. Less people.
Yeah.
They're cheaper. They show the same movie in the morning they do at night.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Although it is confusing, though. You know, when you see a movie and then you leave and you're like, oh, the sun!
I like walking out of the theater. It's like, oh, it's only noon.
You're like, it's the whole day.
Yeah, I can still do stuff.
What's the cutoff for that?
This is great. For what?
Like, where you're in a matinee where it costs less.
It changes with each theater.
Exactly.
Some theaters do the first showing of the day. Some do before 5. Some do before 6.
Yeah, because I've seen stuff like 10 in the morning. I'm like, that. I'm not going to do that.
Exactly. The one at the Fashion Square Mall, they do it like tiered. So the very first show is like the early bird show. Mm. And that is like, they pay you to go to those screens. And then the next one, like at like 11 or 12, it's still a matinee. And then it gets more expensive as the day goes on.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they actually, the cheaper it is, earlier you go. Kind of interesting. So yeah, Civil War, we're going to be seeing it. Everyone, I mean, it's a goddamn Marvel movie.
Yeah.
But the only people seeing these movies are people that have seen all the other ones.
Well, plus, I love that Drew keeps saying colon.
Well, that's what it is. That's the title. That's the title.
That's the point.
Civil War colon, Captain America colon, Civil War.
Yes.
War Civil colon America Captain.
Yes.
It's hard to do it backwards.
Yeah, it is.
Spider-Man's going to be in it and stuff. Oh, there are two. There's the old, like, the first after credit stinger and then the one at the very, very end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And I read online what they are. And people, you don't have to stick around, trust me. It's nothing special. You can actually easily look up online to see what the after credits scenes are.
Yeah.
And then read them, and then it's just the same as sitting through the credits and then actually watching.
Yeah.
Because they're so insignificant.
No, that's the thing too, is that, like, I love when that started up becoming a thing.
At the beginning it was fun. It teased the next movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. For a while.
Yeah, for a while. But then, you have to sit through all of them. And most of them don't. And you know what I mean? You're like, God damn it.
And now they've done enough of them where it's like the insignificant teaser.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Well, the other thing that I do, though, what I love about that is that it does make you watch the credits, which...
Watch the ad.
There is something about that where, you go, seriously, I sit there, I go through the credits, whether there's something there or not. Even if I know there's not something there, I sit and watch all the credits.
Which technically you're supposed to do out of respect for the people that make the movie. But I mean, I'll tell you, I'll be the first one to tell you. When the screen cuts to black and says written and directed by, I am up and out before I've even reading the name. Directed by Martin Scorsese, I'm out of there.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like
I gotta turn my phone on. I gotta check Twitter, yo. I've been online for like 2 hours.
I feel like if I edited the movie, though, you know what I mean? And I'm sitting, and it ends and people gotta be like, sit the fuck down!
That's my name. I did this, me.
And that's kind of the whole thing, you know what I mean? That's all of the public, so to speak, glory that most of the people get. So,
they get their name at the very end, sure.
And I love the idea that, basically the primary people that don't have to worry about that, like the director and all that, that's their decision to go, you know what, let's put it at the end so people will watch the credits.
That's
it's very noble.
The credits used to be all at the beginning. If you watch the older movies, credits used to play entirely in the beginning of the movie, and then when the movie ended, it would say at the end, and then it would just end. There were no credits.
Yeah.
Star Wars is one of the first movies to, like, put all of the credits at the end. It doesn't even open with...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you go back and watch them, it's a Star Wars... And then it's your opening crawl, and then the movie starts, and then
it's not even like directed or
all that stuff comes after at the very, very end, written and directed by George Lucas or whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah, and they were one of the first ones to do that, and they kind of changed the way people presented movies because those, they're following the blockbuster mode that made a shit ton of movies. They're like, oh, people don't want to sit through credits. Let's just start the movie, man.
That makes sense because they're like, so many special effects for that movie that it actually makes sense.
You could take so long, especially now.
Yeah, can you imagine seeing Lord of the Rings? And, like, that comes up first. That's like 20 minutes of credits. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there'd be way too many people, like, 15 minutes in going, this movie sucks.
it's like sitting through the Marvel stuff. Because there's so many people working those things. So, yeah. You should. You're supposed to sit through the very end and all the way up to... Panavision, yes, and Dolby, and no animals were hurt making this movie, and it's all fictional. They even put that at the end of biopics. All characters are fictional, et cetera, just to cover their butt. You're supposed to sit through all that. But, like I said, I get up right away.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too. When you see the soundtrack, you're like, it's almost over.
Yes.
We're getting there. You're
like, oh, thank God. All right. Time for, what it's time for. Dr. Drew.
Doctor.
That's you. You're the doctor.
Mm-hmm. You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
Here we go. Dr. Drew taken away. The doctor is in.
All right, Chris. Well, this Sunday.
Sunday coming up
is Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
I hope that everybody loves their mother and does nice things for them.
I know where this is going.
Just remember, when you take them to brunch or dinner on Mother's Day at the restaurant, the person cooking your meal is going to be me. Just imagine that it's me. And remember that I hate you. The doctor's out.
Oh! I meant to hit the Law and Order one. I thought you were going to say cook for your mothers.
I mean, I did see a Kingsford charcoal commercial that said that. And I was like, oh, someone's doing the good Lord's work.
Trying to get people to not go to restaurants on Mother's Day.
Please don't.
It's so bad.
It hurts so much.
Andrew.
It hurts so much.
It directly affects Drew.
Yes.
Let's take a break here, fellas. Green Room. Going back to Green Room.
Mm-hmm.
The soundtrack. Half the soundtrack is by this couple. What are his names? I wrote it down. Will and Brooke Blair. Same people did the soundtrack for Blue Ruin.
Fuck you, Nazi punks.
Okay, so that's a Dead Kennedys song.
I know.
Nazi punks, fuck off.
Yeah.
They did. They hired some musicians to record original music. Two original songs that was written by friends of the director, and then they recorded a cover of Dead Kennedys, Nazi punks, fuck off. And then the band like pretended to play that shit in the movie.
That was
so,
a cover.
So I got Dead Kennedys, Nazi punks, fuck off. And I also have an original song, the Blair produced tracks. So here you go, guys. Listen to these two songs from the Green Room soundtrack. It's great. Listen to it. It also has other bands on there. It's like some punk rock ranging to death metal. It's like all
really.
It runs the gamut. There's some death metal in there. So listen to this, guys. You'll enjoy it, and we'll be back with the second half of the show with Drew and Etchy. All right, sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talking Nonsense with Eric and Stacy. Join us every Sunday, 9 p.m. Central on alt360radio.com. We're talking news, idiot politicians, movies, TV, Darwin Award nominees, comedy, sports. We're basically two married idiots turning brain thoughts into mouthwords. That's Talking Nonsense every Sunday, 9 p.m. Central on alt360radio.com. If you missed the show live, grab the podcast at ericandstacyradio.com, Stitcher Radio, or iTunes.
Overproduced by Martin Hannett, take 4. Back in your relationship, one way say it for yourself. Get our glory inside your head, when Jackson lives inside your head. Nuts, bugs, nuts, bugs, nuts, bugs, fuck off! Nuts, bugs, nuts, bugs, nuts, bugs, fuck off! If you're not afraid, get out of here! You ain't no better than the bouncers! We ain't trying to be police, so you ain't the cops, it ain't out of
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
We're back. And we're back. How's it going? Episode 173 is underway once again. I am Chris Crespo, hanging out with Drew Sikogren. Drew.
What up?
And Steve Etching. Hey. Steve, how's it guys? I was going to say how's it going, but then I don't know. The words just stopped like halfway
what
through.
What the hell?
And then it was just like, and then the sounds kept coming, but the mouth stopped working.
Okay.
That's what happened there.
Sure.
That's exactly what happened.
I'm good.
Happens are good.
Yeah.
Steve's good. Etching's good. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero 419 all over the interwebs.
Hit them up, people. Steve, we got the plug, man.
Steve _ Etchy at Instagram. I've gotten a lot of people lately.
There you go.
Yeah. Steve Etchy on
Twitter. No. Just Etchy on Twitter.
Yeah, just Etchy on Twitter and Steve Etchy Facebook.
Steve Etchy on Facebook.
God, I hate Facebook. I use it all the time, but I hate it.
Yeah, it's almost a necessary evil, depending on what, if you want to promote stuff, such as the...
The tidbit. Oh, dude.
Radio Network.
Radio?
Yeah.
Yes, radio along with tidbits, and we have another one now called What's the Fuss?
What's the Fuss?
What's the Fuss? It's more of a traditional kind where it's me producing.
Mm-hmm.
I originally was like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to be like that silent producer guy.
Sure, sure.
Can't do it.
You've got to talk. Put a mic in front of you. You got to speak up.
Yes. And we had Rocky is the host,
mm-hmm,
and Bill is the co-host. You know, it's really, I wanted so badly to call it Rocky and Bill Winkle.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? It's perfect.
That is perfect.
I know.
The Rocky and Bill Winkle show.
I think
no one's suing them for that.
I think Bill didn't want to be called Bill Winkle.
Oh, get over it, Bill. Get over yourself. Have some fun. He's Drew Sikogren over here. You don't
seriously
see him complaining.
No.
That's a dumbass name.
I've
been doing it for years.
I'm still trying to as my own.
That's what Doug Benson called him, Drew Sikogren.
Yeah.
On stage. So now it's real.
And then a bunch of people laughed at me.
Yeah.
While I was sitting in the audience.
Well, they didn't know you were there. Well, everyone thought they were laughing at someone that wasn't there. It's easier to laugh at someone who don't know that they're there.
Do you have I almost said a White House. What the hell? Do you have a website?
ChrisCressel.com?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because I have a website that I've had it for like 6 months now. I paid for it for a year.
For the pfft.
And it, yeah, for
pfft. Yeah.
Yeah, and I...
Not using it?
No.
You
like,
should.
I can't figure it out. And it's Squarespace, too. Like, it's supposed to be easier.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out.
Really?
Yeah.
I use, it's a WordPress theme that I'm using for ChrisCrespo.com.
See, I always thought that was harder.
Depends on the theme. The theme is already set up.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the way Squarespace is, too. I picked a theme and...
Sure, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
It doesn't listen to me.
It's not working for you?
No.
I mean, I want to figure that out if you want to get these shows popping.
Yeah.
Pop it. But check out Tidbits. Check out episode 1 of Tidbits, because I was on that shit. And
yes.
And Drew was on like episode 3 or 4, telling his crazy incriminating story about tearing up a golf course in Sarasota.
Hell yeah.
His story is way better than mine.
That's a great story.
Yeah, you could just go straight to that one, actually. It's pretty good. So yeah. What's the Fuss? Check that out.
Yes.
And Tidbits.
And Tidbits.
Which Tidbits comes out every Monday.
Yes. And What's the Fuss comes out every Tuesday.
Oh, bam, boom. 1-2 punch right there.
Yes, exactly.
Like That's awesome. Well, there you go, people. Do all that following and listening and subscribing and all that shit. And listen to the Rocky and Bill Winkle show. That sounds like a good show.
Rocky and Bill Winkle.
And they just talk the shit. They just shoot the shit. Is what's going on there.
Different
theme every episode. Or recent events. Pop culture. What are you doing?
More like just talking. Because especially since
Just two dudes hanging out.
I love it that they wanted to do that because you know, when it comes to like current events, you know, I really love sometimes to be like, let's do two episodes so that when somebody can't make it, you know what I mean? And you put it up and you can't tell the difference.
You have an evergreen type of thing where you're just talking shit about whatever.
Exactly.
And you don't notice that it was recorded 3 weeks ago.
I would love to have an episode where I literally put it up, you know, and it's like, so do you think Barack Obama is going to be his second term?
And then it's like 2017. It was just sitting there, man. We haven't released it yet. We finally got a chance to release it.
That would actually be the best reason to release it. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I would hear that and be like, we're releasing this right now.
We're doing this now. And we're not telling it. Check out this brand new episode. You've never heard anything like it. All right, people. Check out all that shit. And then when you're done with that, follow the show on Twitter, @CrespoDiso, Facebook, CinemaCrespoDiso, Instagram, CinemaCrespoDiso. Email us, CinemaCrespoDiso@gmail.com. We will send you stickers for free. Because it's what we do.
Please take our stickers.
Please take our stickers. All right, let's get started with our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado, and expert hipster detector, or Billy D's Death in Movies. Here we go, Drusa Cogburn, take it away.
What is up, my dude?
What's up, Billy?
Today is a great day. Today I woke up overflowing with film love. I had seen Ben Wheatley's High Rise last night.
Hey, there you go.
Wow. Good thing I have it for another 24 hours. I'd like to watch it again. I've singled out many of Wheatley's films in the past. They are all Death at the Movies alumni. Kill List, Sightseers, A Field in England, and now High Rise. He's one of the newer filmmakers I've really taken a shine to, and High Rise is a major announcement for film fans. We are definitely in the presence of someone who shows a master's touch when it comes to crafting a tense, surreal film experience.
Yeah, it is definitely those things, because we saw it at the Florida Film Festival a couple weeks ago. If you've listened to our Florida Film Festival bonus episode...
We talked about it.
We talked about it, and we can attest everything Billy says is correct.
Yes. High Rise stars Tom Hiddleston.
That is correct.
Jeremy Irons.
See, I told you. Everything he says is right.
Elizabeth Moss.
Yep, that's true.
Sienna Miller.
Very true.
And a bevy of Wheatley regulars like Peter Ferdinando.
Yeah, that guy.
Tony Way. And a brief cameo by Neil Mescal.
Of course.
They are all residents of a high-rise condo development that is under various stages of construction. Meant to be a beacon of technological advancement in modernist living, the high-rise comes to mean so much more to the people that live there. This movie gets into some familiar territory tread by films like Blindness, The Mist, and Salo. But I'm hard-pressed to think of another director who's captured the journey to the center of the heart of darkness so beautifully.
The center of the heart of darkness.
Was this, because it was part of the film festival, it was filmed here?
No, it's English.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say...
It's thoroughly English.
You know what? Somebody needs to make a movie, like location? The I-4 eyesore.
Yeah, I know, sure. Right?
How great would that be if, you know, had Tom Cruise, like, scaling the wall of it or something?
It looks kind of cool, but also kind of ugly because it's unfinished.
Yes, but it does. It still looks modern, and they haven't touched it in, like, 10 years.
Longer than 10 years. I know, right? It's been there since I moved to Florida, and I moved here in 2000, so it's been like that since the 90s.
Years. Yeah.
Minimum.
Seeing these kinds of multi-use towers spring up all over my neighborhood and experiencing a uniquely American version of the classism in high-rise, this film is especially relevant today. Wheatley crafts a disturbing and artful journey through a crucible of absurdism where the only thing that survives seems to be British politeness.
Yep.
The camera work and lighting is outstanding. I couldn't help but feel as if I was watching an unearthed Kubrick film. Loved it. Must see. Double feature this with Green Room and melt your brain.
That's a hell of a double feature.
Join the party. Stay cool, Billy D.
For sure. Ben Wheatley is definitely going for a Kubrickian vibe.
Oh, yeah.
When he's making his movies. I definitely felt that with Kill List. Feel that for real here.
Oh, yeah.
One of his favorite directors. It's very obvious. Yeah. And he's pulling a lot of visual influence from him and tonal influence. And
Is it wrong to say I think Kubrick's overrated?
You think so? Someone's got him.
It's up to you. I mean,
someone's got to think he's overrated.
Seriously.
Well, basically, what I meant was if I was,
what do you mean?
If I was around film,
what did you mean?
People, you know, would I get hurt?
I mean, it all depends.
Most film nerds are weak.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be able to take most of them. Get them in a good chokehold.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tap out.
Yeah, most of them can't handle a bit of ground grappling. They'll throw a couple punches, get winded, but from their Cheeto breath.
Yep.
Get up to their ground, get on their back.
You just got to wait until the Mountain Dew Cold Red wears off, and they won't have any energy at all.
Cold Red.
Give them a nice punch to the face, and it's over.
So disgusting.
I never saw that sticking around. Like, I'm still amazed.
It was so foul. It's still like the most foul beverage I've ever tasted.
And but there are people who are garbage humans, and they'll drink that stuff. So, yeah, you know, that's what... Garbage humans and just garbage. High Rise is great. We saw it, like I said, saw it at the Florida Film Festival. It's Billy was able to see it now in New York, and it's getting, you know, a limited release type thing. So over the next few weeks, he will be able to see it here in Florida in theaters. But it's gonna be quick. It's gonna play only at like the Winter Park. Maybe it'll play at the NZN for a couple weeks, and then it's gonna be out of here. That's the thing with the summer. You'll get a lot of movies like this because it's an English film. You get a lot of foreign films. Get a lot of indie films that. Studios will put out in theaters as like counter programming. Mm-hmm. So Bee and Charlie's coming out the same weekend as Captain America: Civil War because they figure, you know, not all the girls are going to go see Captain America. They need to see something. A lot of Nick Robinson fans apparently. So they keep retweeting and favoriting my tweet where I put out my review. They're still retweeting and tweeting. Nick Robinson crazy these girls.
That's fine. They get to watch him shoot up heroin in a dirty bathroom.
Yeah, he gets to shoot up heroin in a dirty bathroom. That's awesome. And he's very pathetic at times. And then he gets to have sex with another girl that's not them, but then maybe they imagine that it's them. Like, oh, I would treat him so well. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
I don't know what these girls are thinking. I don't know. Like, I understand teenage girls. I did it when I was a teenager.
I don't think we understood them then. Yeah. Probably definitely don't understand them now.
That's the way it goes. But like I said, so what I'm saying is High Rise will be out there eventually for people to see.
Watch it.
Totally. Totally worth watching 100%. Especially like Tom Hiddleston. Tom Hiddleston's good.
Yeah.
Loki, you know,
he kills it.
All the Marvel stuff.
He kills it. Yeah. He's wearing a suit half the time.
Yeah, and he's like, shit's going crazy around
and
him.
And he's still wearing a suit.
And then he's just like pretending it's all good.
And he's still wearing a suit.
And then he wears a suit. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh.
Mr. Kyle Green goes to world. Mr. Kyle Green goes to world. Here we go. Yeah, that's your volume right there, buddy. Here we go. Drew, you are 5-5.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck, man?
Hey. What, I can't have an off season?
Well, apparently that's what's going on. Off season time. Etchy, he is on the ropes. I hope you're ready. This week's game in honor of Keanu is called Animal Kingdom. I'm going to tell you the name of the movie. You tell me who the titular animal is. So if I said Keanu...
Kitten.
Yeah. I'd accept cat. I would have accepted a tabby.
Okay.
So, well, beware of your answers now. All right. Try not to get too specific. It might fuck you up.
Yeah.
I will hold you. I'll hold your feet to the fire.
Okay.
Drew, you lost last time, so the world gets to go first. Etchy, you're the world. Do you want group A or group B? 5 in each.
I will do B.
B. Okay. Choose wisely. Very good. Number one. Name the animal. Free Willy.
That'd be a whale.
That is correct. Number two, Beethoven.
A deaf man.
Beethoven was indeed a deaf man. No, that is incorrect.
And he was so cute.
It was a dog. It was a St. Bernard, as a matter of fact.
I don't remember. Oh!
Beethoven!
Yeah.
And
then Beethoven second. Beethoven
I saw that as a kid, yeah.
They made like 7 of those.
God, that really like, I was like.
That one got you.
Yeah.
A deaf man.
I was like, I know they made Amadeus.
Manimal is the most dangerous game. Number three.
Okay.
Flicka. Well, that's a crazy face. You don't know what Flicka is?
No.
Come on, man, Flicka. That's all you gotta
say. Is that like a Flocka?
It's a Flocka. Flicka. 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 Flicka.
I say a cat. I don't.
It's a horse.
Horse.
It's a horse.
Okay.
It's an adaptation of a book, my friend Flicka, and it's a horse. Number four, Gordy.
Pig.
That's correct. Number five, Turbo.
Mouse.
A snail. That was a snail.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I never saw it, but I remember it coming out.
It was animated, and they have like a series on the Netflix.
Okay, then.
All right, Drew, you got to get 3 out of 5. You ready?
Okay.
Number one, Old Yeller.
Dog.
Correct. Number two, Babe.
Pig.
Correct. Number three, Black Beauty.
Horse.
That's correct.
Bullshit.
Number four. You had your choice of A or B. Number four. Dunstan Checks In.
Oh.
I know this one.
Monkey.
That is incorrect. Do you know it?
No, I thought it was a monkey.
It's an orangutan, guys.
An orangutan.
Not a monkey. It's an ape. It's a great
He's
ape.
He's a great ape.
It's an ape. Not a grape ape, but a great ape. Number five, Norm of the North.
Polar bear.
Drew with 4 out of 5. Goes up to 6 and 5. What a record. Congratulations, Drew.
I'm surprised I didn't see Cujo in there somewhere.
There's too many dogs. I started with Old Yeller and Beethoven.
Yeah.
The movies are dog movies.
Exactly.
Air Bud. Yeah.
Is that really a movie?
They made like 10 of them.
I mean, really.
They got all of the Space Buddies.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not Bud, but it's his offspring. They're all puppies.
Yes.
Oh, God.
And they got sent to outer space. Space Buddies. Come on. That's genius. All right, time for the Vox Populi, guys. Here we go.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
Drew Sagaiber, take it away.
We got an iTunes review, Chris.
We got an iTunes review. Rate and review us on iTunes, like Etchy did a few months ago. We shout you out for that. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Rate us and review us, and we will read your review on the show. No matter what you write, we'll read it. Unless it's some sort of crazy hate speech. We're not going to read that crap.
By at LRayLeon83 on Twitter.
Hey, we know that guy.
Best movie podcast, 5 stars. Great production and great content.
Oh, so nice. We appreciate that. Thank you so much. Please rate us and review us on iTunes. It helps us out a lot. Also, rate and review Tidbits.
Yes.
And the Rocky and Bill Winkle Show. What's the name of that show? What's the Fuss? What's the Fuss, people? Okay, what's next, Drew?
On Facebook, Ron out in LA got at us.
What's up, Ron?
This is in response to what I had to say about Scarlett Johansson and the Asians being whitewashed. Yes, I told Misty just did what the fuck ever, shut up.
Yeah, you told Asians to deal with it.
Uh-huh.
You're like, what are we going to do? Affirmative action?
So, Drew of Cinema Crespediso, this to me is not whitewashing since she is so androgynous. I guess that's Scarlett Johansson.
Keep reading.
Still not a fan of the ScarJo casting. I am excited about this. I am excited about the Asian community has a lot to complain about, but not this. Link to article about Tilda Swinton cast as the Ancient One of Doctor Strange.
And androgynous. That's the wrong word.
Androgynous.
Yeah, androgynous is if a person's androgynous, you can't tell if they're a man or a woman.
I think he's talking specifically about Tilda Swinton. Who she's played it. That's why we said she could play David Bowie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I was thinking
she can pull off androgynous.
I was thinking you were saying like the Asian thing. I'm like, that doesn't.
Yeah. I think he was talking about Tilda Swinton being cast as the Ancient One in Doctor Strange. The Ancient One traditionally being a Tibetan character.
Okay.
So that trailer came out the same week as the ScarJo pictures. That's why the Asian whitewashing thing became a big deal. And so Ron's saying, he sees the beef with the ScarJo thing, doesn't see it with Tilda Swinton. Because Marvel has put out a statement. Yeah. That was part of what he linked to.
Okay.
Marvel put out a statement pointing out that the Ancient One as a title has been passed on through the years. And in this particular movie, Tilda Swinton, the character she's playing, the Ancient One is actually a Celtic person.
Okay,
so she's playing a white person. They rewrote the person to be white.
So here's the thing. Whatever.
Asians, Drew's got a thing. Here we go.
Asians get pissed off. What they should really be pissed off about is the fact that the Ancient One character was Asian to begin with. Because when the Ancient One character came out, we didn't know a lot about Asian culture. It was Asian
mysticism.
It was mystical. It was crazy. It was new. Let's just make him Asian and everything will go. And if that's not fucking offensive, I don't know what the hell is.
And as a matter of fact, Drew, that's correct. Because I read an interview with the writer of the screenplay and he said, because this character was created in the 40s or 50s or something, maybe, right?
Uh-huh.
So he said the original incarnation, if you look at the drawings, he's got the Fu Manchu mustache.
Totally racist.
Very racist. Like the original Mandarin. Yeah. They're stereotypes.
Yeah.
So obviously they weren't going to do the original incarnation as it was because it was racist, like you said.
Yeah.
Born out of a different era.
Yeah.
He also pointed out that if they had updated the character a bit, which they did. It's more modern, right? It doesn't take away some of that time.
If they had made it a Tibetan character, this is very interesting. If they had made that a Tibetan character, that means they are acknowledging Tibet as a culture.
Yes.
And that's a problem when you want to sell your movie to China.
Yes, because as far as the Chinese are concerned,
they want that.
Tibet is part of China.
Tibet's part of China. There is no Tibetan culture. Yeah. They're trying to wipe that shit out.
Yeah. Have been for hundreds of years.
So successfully to the point where the world's largest museum of Tibetan culture and artifacts mm-hmm. is in Staten Island, New York. Yeah. And it's literally a third of the size of this whole building.
Mm-hmm.
It's like two rooms.
Oh my God.
Like stuffed to the gills, but still it's two rooms. It's a tiny little place in the fucking hills of Staten Island. See, it's so weird.
I'm completely ignorant of this subject.
Far away from China to be like, don't touch the prayer drums.
I'm completely ignorant of this subject, other than I know that, you know, China wants Tibet. That's all I know?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That's all you need to know.
But I mean, why? It's not big.
It's a culture clash.
It's
a culture clash. The Tibetans have a very...
So it's a more pride thing?
Well, no, they just have a specific worldview.
Yeah.
And it's also religious as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Tibetans...
And the Chinese government's been anti-religion officially for a long time.
Exactly. So, I mean, they've been trying... The Chinese have been trying to squash the Tibetans probably since like the 1600s.
Yeah.
I just figured like, you know, because usually it's like, you know, like, it's not a big place, but like, there's a big gold mine there or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well,
I don't think it's a natural resource issue. It's not natural. I think it's like Drew said, it's a cultural issue.
I don't understand it.
They find the Tibetan culture to be an affront to the Chinese culture.
Yeah, it's a weird thing where they can't let someone else, they can't let their neighbors just be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but I mean, that's the thing. It's like we feel the same about like, you know, people in the Middle East, not all of them, but you know what I mean? Like we're having problems and stuff, but we don't want it.
Right,
like,
well, yeah, it's a different thing. It's got a long history. It's a long, weird history.
It's been going on for a really long time.
So the writer admitted, because China's the world's second largest movie market, and it's been growing exponentially the last 5-10 years. That we can't have a character that's openly Tibetan and release a movie in China. And then someone was asked him, because it was an interview. Someone was like, well, why can't you like cast a Chinese actress as the ancient one, like Michelle Yao? And he was like, are you kidding me? Cast a Chinese actress as a Tibetan? That's the worst idea. Of all the ideas, that is the worst idea. So they tried to navigate this whole terrible situation. It's seriously, when you think about it,
it's really fucked up.
It really is fucked up, and it is like a no-win for everyone involved, right? So their best, they figured, no, we're not just going to whitewash this character. We're gonna turn the character Celtic. We're going to get Tilda Swinton in there. So they did do this thing. They tried to counteract it. They were like, all right, we're not making this character Asian anymore because it's way too sensitive of an issue. It's too big of a landmine. But what we can do is we can change it. It's always been a man.
Yeah.
We'll change it into a woman.
Yeah.
And we'll get a prominent role to a woman, because that's always an issue in Hollywood.
There's
a lack of good roles for women.
It's a good solved problem in the meantime.
And then, boom, now you got Tilda Swinton, who's a great actress in your Marvel movie. That's like a double whammy, kapow. And then someone asked Tilda Swinton, what do you think about the whitewashing Asian character? And she like snapped at him. She was like, I don't know anything about an Asian character. I was not offered an Asian character. I was never written as an Asian character. People are like, what is she talking about? And then the writer said later, it's Celtic. And I go, oh, okay, that's why. They just told her it was going to be a Celtic person. And then she showed up on set.
Well, no, exactly. It's not like she gives a fuck about the Doctor Strange lore.
No, she doesn't give a fuck about nothing. She's still the Swinton. But still, even though she's Celtic, if you watch the trailer, there's totally shots of Benedict Cumberbatch like trudging through. It looks like Nepal. Yeah. When he sees Tilda Swinton, she's in like a fucking Buddhist temple, like, straight out of the Matrix. I mean, everything else is there. They just change the character. I don't know, it's kind of weird. What was the question? Oh, it was all about Tilda Swinton and all that stuff. Yeah, thanks, Ron, for sharing that. We appreciate it.
And he got at us on Instagram too.
You can hit us up on Instagram, Cinema Crespedisa. We'll read what you comment on there as well.
He said, just saw Green Room, and I wonder how y'all would get out of that situation. We are thinking propane bombs and totally never split up. I was surprised by the gore. The BF says the band was bad since they were thieves. I just know why I can never go into the woods for fear of being lynched. Great action tension in the film, solid 8.5, and this is why I'm a cat person.
A lot to unpack in that one.
Yes.
Let's go backwards. He's a cat person because there are attack dogs. They have trained attack dogs in the movie, and they get used.
Oh, do they ever.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. If you don't like dogs, that movie's going to scare you. Ron can't go in the woods because he'll get lynched.
He's black.
We just mean he's black. So that makes sense.
And he's gay.
He's also gay. So that's like double lynch. Wow. Don't lynch him with a rainbow noose, man. Yeah, he's got to be double careful. Yeah. Shout out to Ron. We love Ron. All right, going backwards from
Ron.
That. Yeah, you know Ron.
I know Ron. Everybody does.
I can't believe Ron moved back. Seriously. Yeah.
We miss you, man. No, he's actually doing really good for himself.
Yeah, he went out in L.A. He's fucking tearing it up.
He's going out there. And he put some sweet Crespo Diso stickers in San Francisco.
And he saw a Cinema Crespo Diso sticker at the lift shop that he didn't put there.
That's what he says, but I mean, we know what's up, Ron. We're going backwards. Okay, then how would we get out of there?
Yeah. How would we deal with the situation?
How would we deal with the situation?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was so scary. The kids had nothing, and the Nazis outside had everything. They had machetes.
They had guns.
At a certain
point in time, I think I would have realized before they did in the movie that I am in a no-win situation.
Okay. Kill yourself.
No, they are going to do whatever they can to make sure that I do not leave this place alive.
Right.
Yeah. Which means I'm going to kill as many of those motherfuckers as I possibly can.
But how? With what?
They had a gun with 5 bullets.
Well, they had to get away from that big guy first.
Okay. That's fine. They got away. Let's say we get away from the big guy. The second he opens the door, he says, can I come? Patrick Stewart says, can I come up and get the gun? You know what I would have said? I would have said yes. Put the gun to the door and fucking blown his head off through the door. And hey, guess what? Once the leader goes, normally everybody else runs too.
Normally, but what if they're so militant? What if they had the contingency? They know what to do when they're soldiers.
They're a bunch of pussy Nazi punk kids.
I wouldn't call them. I will call those Nazis a lot of things. A lot of things. I would never call them pussies. Never.
Like to their face or in general?
In general.
Oh.
Don't know. Just in case one of them's listening. I ain't fucking around. I ain't fucking around with no neo-Nazis, man. They are intense. Red laces, straight up red laces. Those guys are soldiers, dude.
When it comes to
ideology is crazy.
When it comes to no-win situations, I actually thought about this before because the situation makes me laugh.
Okay.
This is not the same situation, but I would use this attitude in that, you know, way.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you know, if I were walking down a street at night or whatever, and somebody pulled a gun on me and said, give me your wallet, and I have, like, nothing in my wallet of value.
Right.
And I'm like, no.
You would still say no?
Yeah. Fuck off.
Just to see what would happen?
Yeah.
You're going to get cut that way.
Well, probably, yeah. But I mean, I just like the idea of walking out and there's all these guys with guns and just kind of walking towards them.
And you're just like, fuck.
And
no.
Just being like, what? No. What?
Like, look at my eyes. I'm crazy. I'm Mel Gibson lethal. Yeah. I'm crazy. I will jump off this building.
I have never had this many people look at me at the same time. What are you looking at?
You guys are freaking me out.
I'm fucking going home.
What would I do? You know what I would do? I would be like, what do you want me to do? Yes, sir. No, sir. I would listen to everything, hoping that they would be honest and they would really be letting me go.
So
and then
you would be
then they would take me up the road and then they would fucking murder me,
like I said,
and I'd
so,
be dead.
So you are the guy who gets his throat ripped out first.
Yeah. Voluntarily, okay. pretty much.
Yeah.
I walk willingly into it for the most part because I'm so scared out of my mind. I don't know what to do.
There's that and the idea that if you say something to somebody and really don't give them time to react, there's the curiosity factor where it's like, if I turn around and just start walking away,
what are they going to do?
Am I going to get shot in the back?
Is this going to happen?
And if it is, like, I'd literally walk away and be like, one, two,
are they
just to see how long.
Or are they going to sick the dog on me? We're taking bets with myself. Am I going to get the bullet or the dog or a machete to the neck?
There's got
to
be tons of people out there that have a gun and think that they, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But then when push comes to shove, or like, shit, I'm not going down for murder.
Well, in this situation,
Paul,
there's
nobody cares about going down for murder.
No, well, yeah, no one's worried about that. It's a crazy movie.
I'd still do it.
Okay, there you go. And you would just walk away. Like, what you
okay, so
do?
He'd walk away, I'd murder everybody, and you would get murdered.
Okay, well, you would attempt to murder everyone. Yes. You have 5 bullets. They have 15 people.
I mean,
so you're getting hacked to death.
I'm totally dying.
You're taking people out with
but
you.
I'm taking motherfuckers with me, damn it.
Respectable. Respectable. You're taking people out with you.
I think I also like the idea of somebody looking down at my dead body and going, that was a strange motherfucker.
Did you guys see that?
He was turning back his walk. He's 20 miles.
I've shot like 80 people before. Nobody's ever done that.
This guy's crazy. So yeah. So you would just turn around, walk away, get shot in the back. I would openly walk into murder. Drew would take a couple people out
and then get murdered,
but then be hacked to death. Yes. Like viciously. Yeah. He'd probably get it the worst because he took out the leader.
I perform as many social experiments as I can before I lose.
Just start. Go, whoa, whoa, whoa.
what's this guy doing?
Yeah, and all of that, all that newfound knowledge now that I got from those experiments, gone.
All that newfound knowledge you got? Yeah, all the data you collected, gone in an instant.
Gone.
thanks, Ron. We appreciate it, man. Is that it for Vox Populi?
Yeah, that's everything.
All right, hit us up, and we'll read your stuff on the show.
Which, by the way, last time I was on, Ron wrote in, too.
Oh, he hits us up almost every week, yeah.
Yeah, at least, yeah.
Yeah, Ron's a good guy.
He's, yeah, he does, like but that. I thought that was, I was like, nice. Oh, I know him.
Yeah, Ron's great. He's great. All right, movie news, guys. I got some stories here. First off, I mentioned real quick how when we were reviewing Keanu, that the cat at one point talks for one scene, mm-hmm. and it's solely Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
Now, this is what happened. According to the Key and Peele guys themselves, they reached out to the Keanu Reeves' people pretty early on in the process.
Yeah.
Like, this is the movie we're doing. Mm-hmm. We would love if we could get him to participate in some way. And they came back and said, no, not interested. Keegan-Michael Key said he suspects that the message never even got to Keanu.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, the gatekeepers just like stopped it right away. Yeah. They didn't know what they were talking about. So, fast forward to South by Southwest mm-hmm. A couple months ago. They showed a work in progress print of Keanu. The screening went pretty well. Word of that screen. Oh, and the trailer came out.
Yeah.
Someone showed the trailer. I think it was Keanu Reeves' sister.
Showed it to him.
Showed him the trailer. He's like, this is amazing. And he got in touch with the Key and Peele people.
It was like, hey, I want
it. Yeah, he's like, if there's anything we can do together. And they're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So they worked it out so they get him in there. And then I read today in another interview that when Keanu was recording his part, they said, for the record, we had to ask him to do it more Keanu-y.
Well, no, exactly. He's like, all right, give me somewhere in between The Matrix, I Know Kung Fu, yeah. and Bill and Ted.
Yeah,
all
exactly.
Right? That's what I need.
They were like, we want you to be like, they asked him, can you Keanu Reeves it up? and he was totally game. He's like, I gotcha. I understand.
He's like, all right, sure.
Yeah. That's the way I always wanted Keanu to be. Like, yeah. I wanted to believe that he just seems like the nicest.
Well, he is the nicest.
And I've heard that. Exactly. Too.
Apparently, yeah, he is the nicest guy.
He's a very yeah. cool guy. He did a Nerdist interview late. Was it last year? When did John Wick come out? Last year?
Yeah.
Late last year, he did a Nerdist interview to promote John Wick. It was just him hanging out for 40 minutes with Chris Hardwick. And he's just like the coolest dude, just bullshitting, and he just sounds like a super nice guy. He's very thoughtful, but very funny. And he's also a very private person, so yeah. you never see him in the news or media.
Well, no,
or
exactly.
Anything.
You don't hear anything about, you know.
Never hear anything about him.
Keanu drugs, all whacked out on ecstasy.
Trash the hotel room. Exactly. Even yeah. in his youth, you never heard about
and
that.
And I'm sure he did plenty of that shit.
He just, well, it was all pre-Twitter, pre-Facebook.
Exactly.
back when you could, yeah.
Back when you could fuck around and not worry about it being on Raw Story the next day. Said he's that's actually him in the movie. That's how the guy. That's pretty funny. It kind of reminds me. Also, read. I wanted to mention this earlier. Green Room. How Patrick Stewart really got involved. Mm-hmm. Someone asked him, "What was it about the script that one got you interested in doing Green Room?" And he said, "It was the script. The script itself is so good that he got it." First, he got an email form because all scripts come to him in email form. He started reading it. He liked it enough to print it out. He doesn't print on all scripts, but he printed it out. Sat down, started reading. He got 30 pages into it. He lives in Oxfordshire in England. And it's the house is kind of, it's on a big piece of property.
I think I saw the tweet that you're about to be talking
about. Oh, you might have seen that? He's in a big piece of property and it's kind of isolated out there. And he was reading it at night. He got 30 pages into it. He put the script down. He went around the house, made sure all the windows and doors were locked. He turned on the perimeter lights, which he never does. And he turned on the alarm system. Poured himself a big old glass of whiskey, and then he sat back down to keep reading the script, to finish the script.
Yeah,
he said it fucked him up.
Yeah, he said in a tweet that he had to, after the first 30 pages, he needed a whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah, 30 pages in.
Yeah.
He locked all the doors, he turned on the alarm, he poured himself a whiskey, and he sat down to finish reading it. And he said immediately he was like, I'm in.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Imagine then being also the writer, the director.
I was just about to say that, too.
Jeremy Saunier, the way it got to him... he signed with a management company. It's the same management company that manages Patrick Stewart.
Okay, there we go. You
know, so that's what they do. They get scripts and they give it to their clients first.
Yeah.
It got to him somehow, and then it got back. He's like, what, man? Fucking Jean-Luc Picard, what's the movie? That's ridiculous. And then you think of it, like, wait a second, Jean-Luc Picard, fuck yeah! Sure, X is going to be her. He's going to be, what's his name, Darcy or DC or something like that?
Yeah.
God, that I didn't realize he lived in England. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Hey, so lives out there.
Yeah. Especially Oxfordshire.
Well, Oxfordshire.
He is, remember, he is Sir Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
He's been
knighted. Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, excuse me, Sir Patrick. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah,
very true.
Thank you, Drew.
appreciate that.
He spends a lot of time with Sir Ian McKellen.
Yes.
And they have really odd Instagram pictures together. It's so strange.
Yeah, they do. They hang out. It's funny. They hang out and they do crazy things.
Yeah. It's like Professor X and Magneto. What the hell's going on here?
And they wear like funny hats and take selfies.
Exactly. They do. It's really weird.
I think Ian McKellen helps Patrick Stewart get in touch with his gay side a little. He's like, come on, explore it at a more flamboyant side. And Stewart's like, all right, sure, let's do it. I don't give a shit.
Seriously.
I'm an old white man now. I've got nothing to lose. Back to the whole comic book thing.
Yeah.
Okay. This all ties together. First off, there's a little clarification as to the Spider-Man Homecoming movie coming out.
Homecoming?
Yes, yeah. That's a new Spider-Man movie. First Spider-Man is going to be in Captain America: Civil War, part of the new deal between Sony and Marvel to share the character, right?
Okay.
After he's in this movie, and he has a couple scenes with Iron Man, with Tony Stark, which are apparently great scenes. Mm-hmm. Then he's going to have his solo movie, which comes out next year. Spider-Man Homecoming, and it's produced by Sony, but Marvel still has creative control.
Nice.
So they're like producing it creatively, and then Sony gets to release it. They get the cut of the money.
Yeah.
They put up some of the money for it, et cetera, et cetera. So
they're like, listen, we've been trying to crack this for fucking years, and we can't do it. Like,
this isn't a new Spider-Man.
Brand new Spider-Man.
I mean, like, actor?
Yes, yep. Brand new everything, man.
As a kid.
Not only is it a new actor, but we're back in high school. We're doing the fucking... The origin story all over again.
Well, no confirmation yet that we're doing an origin story. I mean, just look at Civil War coming out this weekend. He's Spider-Man.
He is.
He's already... I don't think there is an origin story.
Origin story. I'm so sick of that origin story.
We don't know. We know he gets bit by a spider. They could at least cover that in like a flashback. And then we're all on board.
They could cover that in the credits.
They could.
Opening credits.
Opening credits. Montage. Spider. Yeah. He's Spider-Man. He's in high school. He's shooting webs. Here's an insert from Civil War, and now we're caught up. Now it's him in high school. And that's the whole point. The new Spider-Man's a kid, Tom Holland. He's like 16 years old. They want this to be like the first official movie Spider-Man. It's like this. Tobey Maguire was in his mid-20s when he started doing Spider-Man. When he did Spider-Man 3, he was like 33 years old. He's an old-ass man. Mm-hmm. They're going to teenage, smart mouth, wisecracking Peter Parker.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes. Also, they announced that... Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark / Iron Man will appear in the Spider-Man movie. That's another part of the deal.
Interesting.
That the Marvel characters, the MCU characters, can appear in Spider-Man movies. So there you go, guys. It's gonna be that shit's gonna be popping. Mm. It's gonna be popping for sure.
There should be a they should put a stop to Spider-Man and Batman for like. A decade.
That ain't happening.
No.
These things make money, man.
You know what I mean, though? Like, it's
to
like,
take a break from the characters?
Yeah.
I understand.
Jesus.
But I understand. I get it, but they make the monies.
Yeah.
They make the monies. There's no reason for them to stop.
I mean, eventually...
Even though Amazing Spider-Man's underperformed made money. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, eventually, we will get to the point with the Batman movies where it gets all Joe Schumacher'd up again, and we get nipples on the bat suits and really stupid villains.
It's gonna get so absurdity.
Exactly, and then it'll cut off, and then we'll have the 10 years, and then we'll get, hopefully, somebody like Christopher Nolan again.
A new reinvention of the character.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Yeah, it does come in cycles, absolutely. We're getting towards the Schumacher portion of this Batman cycle. Spider-Man cycle, that's a whole different thing. We gotta figure that one out. I guess we will now with the Sony Marvel co-production thing.
So what, are we gonna get another Green Goblin?
They've been talking about, I'm sure they will introduce, it won't be in the first movie, but Norman Osborn.
Well, it makes sense Harold was a school chum of Peter.
There you go.
So,
yeah.
They're tied together
pretty well.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to build up to a Green Goblin in like the second or third.
Well, especially if Marvel's doing the creative part of it, they won't.
Well, if
they won't leave out that detail.
But
that's a big part of it.
But at least if they're keeping with the high school thing, it will be Norman, and you won't see Harold turn into the Green Goblin maybe till the end.
That's what I'm saying.
Like the very
the,
end.
The rumored villain for this one, for Spider-Man Homecoming, is Vulture. So
okay, that's you. Wonder which Vulture they're going to be using. Probably the new one, because the old one is just a fucking old man.
Just an old man in the suit.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you, exactly. Spider-Man.
We need a Harvey Birdman.
Attorney at Law.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
I love that show so much. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
I love it.
Actually, in the opening of Tidbits, I have Stephen Colbert's the...
Oh, is that him?
Yeah, he's the Stephen Colbert did the voice of the guy with the eye patch.
The boss.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Ha ha.
That's good stuff. So this is kind of a funny story. Twin Peaks, right? They're doing the new series for Showtime that's come out in 2017. 11 or 12 episodes, maybe a few more. David Lynch writing, directing all of them.
Oh, God.
With the guy who, the Mark Frost, who helped do the original series. They put out the cast list. Mm. The full cast list for the whole series. And it was almost like people had to check the calendar to make sure it wasn't April 1st. Mm-hmm. First off, there are 217 names on the cast list, which is an insane amount of names. Many people from the original show are back. Mm-hmm. With like, there's like one person who's a main character, like the main sheriff, the guy who played Sheriff Harry S. Truman.
Yeah,
he's not coming back. That actor, the character's coming back, being played by Robert Forster, who's the Max Cherry from Jackie Brown.
Is the weird guy from Carnival, and
I think he's dead.
Oh, damn it! He was so good.
Yeah, I think the French dwarf guy is dead.
He was awesome.
I think so. But most of the people are coming back, including Kyle MacLachlan, David Duchovny, Ray Weiss, the ladies, Sharon Fenn, yeah. Matt Shenamick, blah, 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 Peggy Lipton. But it is the new names that is very interesting. The new people that are that have been added to the cast. So we have appearing in the new Twin Peaks, Naomi Watts, Michael Cera, Monica Bellucci, Tim Roth, Laura Dern, Ashley Judd, Amanda Seyfried, and Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Huh.
Wow.
Those are the top names. The top.
Yeah. I love that Laura Dern, like, she's just, you hardly ever see her anymore.
Yeah, she needs to be in more stuff.
Yeah, she really
but
does.
But they did Inland Empire together with Lynch, so that's obviously why.
Yeah.
Not done, guys. Jeremy Davies, a very interesting actor who you've seen him in stuff. Like, he's in Solaris.
He's one of those, one of those guys.
He's one of those guys. He's in Rescue Dawn, and he's a very interesting, just his mannerisms, interesting guy. Ernie Hudson, David Koechner, Derek Mears. That's the guy who played new Jason in the new Friday the 13th movie.
Okay.
So he's a big, weird-looking dude. Matthew Lillard.
What?
Holy shit!
Where the hell did they even find him? I thought he was...
In a ditch?
Gone!
they kicked over a rock, and found him. They kicked over the rock next to that one, found Tom Sizemore, put him on the show as well.
Holy shit.
Harry Dean Stanton. That old man. And Ethan Suplee, the big old fatty. I'm not done, guys. I'm not done. Because also appearing on the show is Eddie Vedder.
What?
Really?
And Trent Reznor.
Nice.
And actually, if you check this cast list, it's not just Trent Reznor, but also Mary Queen Reznor. So his wife.
Wow.
His wife is going to be in the show.
You seen Trent Reznor recently? He's the most normal looking guy.
Well, now he is. Yeah, now he's like short hair. He's just like a 45, 50-year-old.
He almost looks like a bro.
Dude. Yeah, he's just like a dude.
Yeah.
Did you see him 10 years ago?
Nah.
He was going through a workout phase.
Nah.
Oh, and he was super bro-y.
Yeah, he was super bro. He looked like a fire plug. He was
really?
Like a, yeah, yeah, he was a huge, thick dude on stage.
I never saw that.
It was weird. For a minute there, he got really into working out.
Is David Lynch, like, did he write any of it, or is he just directing it?
He co-wrote the whole thing with Mark Frost.
So now I don't even know if I'm going to see it.
Well, did you like the original Twin Peaks?
Didn't see it.
Check it out. Check out the pilot.
Weird, man.
The pilot's like an hour and a half.
Wait, did David Lynch do that?
Yeah, him and Mark Frost. He directed the pilot. And it is a crazy show. It's really good. But it's also playing heavily on soap opera tropes.
Yes.
Because in 1990, soap operas were still gigantic. Yeah. Now it's just like Hospital and maybe All My Children is on.
Yeah, I watched Another World with my mom.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They
tried bringing back Dallas, but that didn't work.
That did not work out, no. It did not. Sorry, Patrick Duffy, we tried.
I was just about to say,
We tried revitalizing Cure, but no one was having it. Check out the show, dude. Considering that it's from 91 in the time period, it's such a creepy, weird show. And it is, but since it's TV, it's also very accessible David Lynch. So it's David Lynch weirdness.
So it's David Lynch I've never seen before.
It is more like, it's closer to Blue Velvet than it is Eraserhead. You know what I'm trying to say?
Haven't seen Blue Velvet, Eraserhead, one of the worst movies I've seen.
It's very arty. It's a very arty film. You know, and it's such
a shitty way of saying it's bad, though. Like, it's.
Not, I don't think it's bad. Yeah. You think it's bad. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's arty and it's different, and that's why it would. That's why it's not for everyone. If you don't like it, you don't like it. I'm not saying you're wrong for not liking.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Don't like it all you want. That's cool, man. It's not for everyone.
I know. It just. I don't know. I cringe when I hear art. It's
That's what it is, though.
I know.
Movies are art.
Yeah.
Movies are art.
Speaking of arty stuff, did you notice the in Jordan Peele's apartment in Keanu, the only movie poster that they showed?
Oh, you know what? I noticed it and I totally forgot.
Whoa. Fucking Cloud Atlas.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was the only poster they showed. The whole movie, and it was Cloud Atlas.
And then Key and Peele, they played two characters.
Yeah.
They played them. They played their normal characters, and then they played
the Allentown
boys. Allentown brothers. Yeah. They're a pair of killers or something. It's pretty funny.
I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was
cute. It was adorable.
In all three Naked Gun movies, and the different whenever they go into different houses.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They had the same picture on a wall in every place.
Did they really?
Do you know who? Like it was not a caricature, but a very old photograph of Daniel Boone.
Nice. Right.
Yeah. Now when they asked to I listened to the commentary or whatever, you know, and somebody was like, oh, "Why Daniel Boone?" They're like, "We have no idea."
Why Daniel Boone? Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
We grabbed a picture.
That's funny. That's like that show Psych, which I never watched on USA.
That's good.
Apparently, every episode there's a pineapple somewhere in some form.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah, whether it's a picture or an actual pineapple or.
I never thought about that before, but I've seen it multiple times. Yeah. It's a good show.
Is it a good show?
Hmm?
Look for the pineapple dream.
I don't watch the show.
Look.
The guy's got
for the pineapple.
The two guys have very good comical timing.
The white guy and the black guy.
Yeah,
they got good white guy black guy timing.
Yeah, but he also is like. It's hardly ever mentioned he's a black guy.
True.
Like, you know what I mean? He's like one of those people that
he's just a guy.
Two guys, yeah.
It's like, hey.
And then they play off each other because they're like childhood.
And at one point, someone's like, did you know you're black? He's like, what?
Yeah.
Is that Don Lemon? Etchy, you're going to like this news a lot. Wet Hot American Summer.
Yes.
Okay. We had the movie.
Yeah.
And then Netflix just did the prequel miniseries, which was the beginning of the same summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the actors are all 10 years older,
which is hilarious. So they're all technically playing their younger selves,
younger versions. But yeah, everyone liked what they got. Netflix liked it. We're getting a new original series. I don't know if it's a mini. It's probably another miniseries.
Yeah.
Wet Hot American Summer: 10 years later. Everyone, they're all making good on their promise to come back in 10 years and see where they're all at.
That's so. What I thought they were going to do in the first place, because that's how the movie ends.
That's how the movie ends. Yeah. Let's all come back in 10 years. Yeah, exactly. They're doing it now. Do we have anything here for a cast? No, not really.
I hope B. Coop comes back again.
Yeah, he's got to come back.
He came back for the prequels.
He did a lot. They had to, like... He had to work on his schedule to make sure he had the time to. He was able to free up like 48 hours to fly out there, shoot his scenes, and get the fuck out. So they had to like lump all his stuff together, shoot it all together, get him on set, and then get him the hell out of there. But he wanted to be in it. All these people wanted to do this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they worked pretty hard to do it. They also probably get paid nothing.
Yeah.
Like practically nothing. Mm-hmm. Union wages to do this stuff. They just do it.
I was about to say, Bradley Cooper's not going to be making that Bradley Cooper money doing this movie.
No.
No, that was his first movie.
Exactly.
He's getting paid that David Wayne money, which is enough to for David Wayne to continue paying his mortgage, probably. Mm-hmm. I love David Wayne. He's a funny guy. So there you go, man. Some more Wet Hot American Summer. It's coming.
Yes!
It's coming. Which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. That's some funny shit. We were talking about how much we like those guys. Okay, that's the end of the movie news. So it brings us to the end of the show, which means it's time for the lightning round.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Stop. Okay, stop. Etchy.
Yes.
I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Okay.
Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number one, chopsticks. What's up with that?
I don't know. I think it's just to show people that you you can do things with your hands. Kind of like when you go check this out, I can put this cherry in my mouth and make a knot.
And make a knot out of it?
Yeah.
Showing you got finger dexterity?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about?
Yeah, it totally shows you can be like, you can't do it. Oh my God. All
right. Number two, what's your vaping?
Oh, I am, you know what, I don't remember because I make my own juice and I've vaped so much of it, I can't taste it anymore.
Well, you got number 72 on there, it's batch number 72?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
Number three, who is Blade Brown?
Blade Brown?
That is the inappropriate way to describe Wesley Snipes in the movie Blade.
Okay. That's close. Number four. When the sun sets in the west, how come it doesn't get extinguished when it disappears into the Pacific Ocean?
Holy shit. Because it's too far away.
It keeps coming back. Number five. The Twilight Zone or The Outer Limits?
The Outer Limits, because nobody died.
All right, number six. If stickers are sticky, are pickers picky?
Yes.
Number seven. Showers or baths?
Definitely showers. I like to wash away my filth, not sit in it.
Wallow in it?
I totally agree. Number eight. Name three vegetables. Go.
Broccoli, eggplant, and potatoes.
Interesting.
All choices. Of which have nicotine in them.
All right.
Yep. Did I know that?
Maybe that's why I like those three vegetables so much.
Must be. Number nine. Think of a color. You got it?
Yes.
Are you thinking of it?
Yes.
Is it red?
It is not.
I don't want to notice. Number 10. Pizza the Hut. Oscar Mayer. Colonel Sanders. Who do you kick out of the hot tub?
Pizza the Hut. He's getting shit all over me.
Seriously.
That's exactly correct. Good job, Etchy.
Yes.
Swag bag time, Drew. Show him the bag.
Yeah! So
we got the flower bag, we got the red bag, we got the shiny bag, we got the polka dot bag.
I'm gonna do the red bag.
We're doing the red bag. Here we go, Drew. Break out the red bag, break out the contents, and tell Etchy what he may get to go home with today.
You may get to go home with a magnetic grow crocodile. Wow, it grows 600%.
Wait, like you get magic. It wet and it grows, but it's also a magnet?
No, magic, not magnetic. My bad.
Yeah, that's confusing.
I was going to say, that's a hell of a combo.
Yeah,
you have a joke and gag magic knife, trick your friends, and stab them with plastic.
There you go. Fake knife. The blade goes into the hilt.
We've got glow-in-the-dark tattoos from Totally Tattoos. You can be tribal or Scully or...
I'm going to put them over my new ones.
Sobey lizard. So you can be corporately sponsored as well.
It's a Sobey lizard, yeah. It is.
Oh,
yeah. Totally is.
We've got a puzzle bug, 100 pieces... And it's a puzzle of a puppy.
Oh, puppy puzzle.
That is a cute-ass puppy.
Oh, you have a Cinema Crespediso bootleg film edition of...
The Green Mile.
Green Mile.
Oh, my God, that is weird, and I have to tell you why when this is over.
A Tom and Dan sticker.
Tom and Dan sticker. Shout out to Tom and Dan.
Ooh, two Tom and Dan stickers.
Shout out to Tom and Dan twice.
Bunch of Cinema Crespediso stickers.
And a bunch of Cinema Crespediso stickers. Why is that so weird?
Because Ron, the guy that keeps emailing in. Okay, the way I met Ron was at a Tom and Dan event.
Okay.
I had been drinking a little bit.
Yeah.
And... They had, it was at...
Did you mistake him for Michael Clark Duncan?
Well, not really, but he was hit, like, somebody was hitting the thing to make the bell ding, you know?
Yeah.
And it was going up, like, halfway or whatever. Now, Ron, for anybody that's never seen Ron, he's a big dude.
Sure.
No.
Grabs the mallet and hits it, goes all the way to the top and dings. Mm-hmm. I'm like 30 feet away or whatever, you know, and there's a crowd of people, you know.
Yeah.
And I just had my cup of beer, and I just went, Green Mile! And to which he turned and looked at the crowd, and I'm dumb enough to be like, what's that?
That was me.
And he's like, that's some racist-ass bullshit. And I was like, but it was funny. And we hung out the rest of the night.
There you go. That's some funny stuff. That's some good stuff.
I got so there you go.
Yes. That might be a sign. You could take that bag home, Etchy, or we can put the bag away, and you can take what's in the box that we have right over here.
What's in the box?
It's the box time. What's in the box?
What's in the fucking box?
So you can take the bag and take the box.
I would take the box, but that's just too awesome.
You like it too much, all right?
Yeah.
All right,
plus, there's a puzzle,
sir.
And I'm always trying to get my mom to watch new movies, and she loves puzzles, so I'd be like, this is puzzle.
There you go. Joseph Cogburn's looking inside the box. Put the box away, Drew. He's smiling. Put the box away.
And I don't get to see.
You do not get to see. Because we got it. Now it's for the next guest.
See, if there were no coincidences, I would pick the box.
But it's too much of a coincidence.
Because no, I still got my moose.
You got the moose out of the box.
It's my editing moose.
That's a pretty dope moose.
Yeah.
A little moose.
I have it right under my middle display.
That was a good time. Drew, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir.
Etchy, thank you.
Thank you for having me. I love coming here.
And we love having you on, man. It's always a good time. Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening to the show. We appreciate it. Make sure you read more books because reading is fundamental. Also, break up the big banks. Stuff your money in mattresses. Be excellent to each other and see more Keanu Reeves movies.
Yes.
We are out of here.
I'm going to go home and watch John Wick.
There you go. Yeah, John Wick.